Welcome to hour number two on a Monday with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bigg.
Tired of just scratching the surface of Korea? Want to get deep in the weeds?
Me and Alex will unpack everything about Korea through its history on
Now and Then
with me, David.
All right, I am going to conquer one of my fears here. But first, let me explain what's going on. Let go of any preconceived ideas that history is boring and difficult, which I never thought, but here we go. Every Monday, learn about the various parts of Korean history linked to everyday events, movies, and more with Dr. Professor David. That's on the script. It doesn't say Tizard here, so stick with that.
Yeah, Professor David, Dr. David. Yeah, that's great. Nice to see you, Alex.
Dr. David, nice to see you too.
Yeah, good to be seen.
It's good to be, the first time we've been on air together here, which is great. Yeah. And I'm a little nervous because you are...
I'm intimidating, aren't I?
It's, yes, I was thinking about this on the way here. I was like, yes and no?
No.
Like, I'm not scared, but I've seen you on air and I've also seen your podcasts. And quick shout out, what's it called again?
Korea Deconstructed. Yeah.
There we go. But, you know, he's, wait a second. Are you also a musician?
Yeah.
What do you play?
Everything.
Now I don't want to talk to you because I'm like the bassist in a punk band, and that means I have no talent.
I play bass at the moment as well. I'm doing that. What kind of punk do you like? Know your talent.
Oh, the punk I like.
Do you like punk?
I like pop punk.
It's like Green Day, Blink 182 type stuff. You look a bit young.
Yeah, because it's nostalgic. Yeah, it's okay. Nostalgic for me because it's my high school when I thought I was cool and I wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I will enjoy. Some for me, older is like MXPX, so not full punk, not like British punk back in the day, but kind of like that mid 90s is when I start to get into it a little bit. And then I ended up getting into punk because of Christian rock. I have no idea how that came about.
It's like Creed and With Arms Wide Open and POD.
No,
is that era?
It is that era though, yeah. So some of the Lifehouse was the one, you know, when they were underground and then they popped up. But anyway, yeah, so I would say I like any... Sum 41, though. A little bit more rock side of punk is what I like.
Yeah, cool.
I'm afraid to ask you, what's your style of bass? Is it jazz? Don't say jazz, because that would just mean he's way too talented.
You just play something. I don't know. But yeah, it's great to do this with you. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. Oh, let's do what we're talking about today. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about a palace. We're going to talk about tours. So normally, we sometimes go into people. We sometimes go into events. We're going to do something that most people will probably know about generally, but I want to explain some things just because I went there recently and I want to give you some firsthand experiences and tours. So on the screen now, listeners, watchers, lovely family, you will see a picture of me and various students and our tour guide as we go around Gyeongbuk Palace. You see me there in the background with my international students, and they loved this. They loved walking around history, being told about the surroundings. They also loved dressing up in the various clothing. I will say that the gentleman at the front, Lue, in that black outfit, black was not worn in the Joseon Dynasty. So that's anachronistic, right? So there was no black worn there. But nevertheless, it looks pretty badass. And there they are getting the tour. And just to you know, slay a little bit,
speaking
look at that photo.
Cool,
that's pretty
outfit.
Good, isn't it?
With
the Joseon princesses. So I want to explain something, you know, the history, the philosophy, and a little bit about the palace. And then we'll finish talking about wearing those hanboks and what culture means to Korean people.
Absolutely. I love walking around the palaces too. I don't need the hanboks when it's great when I see other people wearing them.
Yeah.
When I go to the palaces or anything, even a simple pagoda or whatever, I do like to just imagine, like, for example, back behind you was a place to, I guess, meet, hang out, and have makgeolli, or I don't know exactly what they did at that particular one.
I can tell you, but keep going.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
There was a place in Jeonju I remember walking up to, and someone was explaining that to me, and I was just like, I kind of fantasize about having, I wish I could have been there in, I don't know, 1700, 700 Joseon Dynasty.
Yeah.
So, and just enjoying that moment. And I do kind of like go into my own world when I walk in there, and it's nice. meditation almost.
Yeah. You would have enjoyed it if you were a Yangban and a member of the aristocracy. You might not have enjoyed it if you were a slave or a woman. And that's why modern Korea, ladies and gentlemen, is so good. Just that pavilion that you saw behind us, that was for, it's probably the last thing you would normally see as you do a tour of the palace. And it was for entertaining foreign dignitaries. So when people came over from Japan or China, they would go up on the second floor, and there's stories that one Japanese dignitary, as he was here in around the 18th century, was so overwhelmed by the nature and the beauty and also the makgeolli that he was consuming that he fell off the balcony into the lake below. He was okay, but that's a story about how beautiful Korean people is, or perhaps how potent the liquor is, that it will make you fall into the lake below the pagoda.
That is absolutely great. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, where do we go to next?
We'll just start by reaffirming and this idea that most people by now will know if they listen to this show, that the palace is in a certain location in Seoul. So Gyeongbokgung, Gyeongbok Palace, is where, Alex? History class, here we go. Is it in Busan?
No.
It's in
Seoul.
It's in Seoul.
Right.
Any idea whereabouts in Seoul? The big palace.
So it's right, is it Bukhansan behind? It's right by the Blue House, but
yeah.
So it's Gwanghwamun, and it's just, I don't know, it's right in the middle northern part, which is important because the mountain is behind it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to stop there. That, no, I don't say too much more.
You're exactly right. Okay. Check out the picture on the screen. It was placed there by Dong Dojeon when they established the Joseon Dynasty in 1392. So you can see the palace we're talking about today is right by that big mountain at the back, right? So it's protected there by the mountain behind it. It has the east and the west, and it has a river in front of it. Now, this is all according to military protection, and it's all according to the concepts of feng shui, geomancy, to make sure all the spirits and the vibes are in. Like, they had vibes back then. They had vibes that hit different.
Yeah, that Taeyang song coming out, that was about then.
Yeah, absolutely. They were talking about those vibes. And it's still there today, ladies and gentlemen. Those decisions made in 1392 by Dong Dojeon when King Yi established the Joseon Dynasty, still there today, and you can go and visit it. That's really walking into history.
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
If you are in Jeju,
88.7 in Jeju City,
88.1 in Seogwipo City,
101.9 in the Daejeong area.
Arirang Radio.
Back on the air with the professor, but we have a message from Tropic Girl, speaking of which, I loved that you took your students to the palace, David, and escorted by Kay. She is awesome. I love your teaching methods. It helps when you can see and touch history and not just sit in a classroom and read texts.
Thank you very much for that message. One of my students said to me, as we were saying goodbye for that class, that when they went on the tour, they felt 14 again. And I thought that was a beautiful thing, that they hadn't been on a school trip or something like that.
Wow.
And they were just finishing going to do their masters. They hadn't been on an excursion, a field trip since they were 14, and it made them feel young again. And that kind of warmed my heart. And I told that student, it actually made me feel much older because I had to control all these 20 and 18-year-olds like in the heart of Seoul. That's why I wasn't wearing a hanbok, because it was like, I've got to be responsible for them. So it made me feel old.
That's interesting. I do see that kind of, when you do things, whether it's doing, you know, little trips, especially whether it's a field trip or even on your own, that's what makes me feel young again. Not controlling people. I know how that can feel too.
Yeah,
bringing people around. But yeah, it brings out that inner child. The curiosity comes out again, and is fascinating.
Love it.
All right. Well, I will say that was also like, it was one of my career paths I almost took. I decided not to go PhD after master's. But I was like, that would be a really cool thing, especially in Korea. Jealous of what you get to do. But maybe I'll be on one of your tours one day.
Maybe. Let's talk about palaces. So there are five main palaces in Seoul. We'll show you a map here as they come up and just how kind of similarly located. So if you're in the center of Seoul, you can see all of these five palaces. We're talking today about Gyeongbok Palace, but this will also apply most of the information to Changdeokgung, Changgyeonggung, Gyeonggi-gung, and Deoksu-gung. Now, Gyeongbokgung, which we're talking about today, Bok you might have heard of before, which means luck. 새복 많이 받으세요. Right? So 경복궁, the bok means luck. So this is the big luck palace. This is the palace where the king and the queen live. This is the main palace in Seoul, and it means the big luck palace.
Is that what gyeong means? Or
yeah, gyeong? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's a big luck palace?
It's the big luck palace, yeah.
That is fascinating. And I do love also in how like that naming system just doesn't work in English. You can't just be like, welcome to Big Luck Palace. Well, I guess we do have White House. That's pretty basic.
Which is kind of white.
Generically white. Never mind. Yeah. I take back what I said.
Yeah. Well, we sometimes miss the translation. Tiananmen Square is, you know, that also means something. It's like the square of divinity or things like this. They have names like this. Now, let's speak a little bit more about the palace. So there's a map, but that map might not mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next picture, please, if we can. PD Nim, which will be picture number 7. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the site that you might see a lot. This is the main gate of Gyeongbuk Palace. This is called Hungleumun, right? And what I want to explain for you, you see those three doors?
Yes.
Right. Those three doors represent something special. They're not just three random doors, right? So the middle door is for the king. And he will go through the middle door because, you know, he's the big man, right? That's what he does. Now, you see the two doors on the side, they're both different.
Yes.
The door on the east is for, that would be the door on the right in this picture. The door on the east is for the civil servants, the scholars, the people that pass the exams, the sonbi, the literati, the yangban. The door on the left, which would be the west, is for the soldiers and the military people. Mm-hmm. Now, why do they go through the east and the west doors and separate them? In the Joseon Dynasty, according to Confucianism, the east was better than the west. Because the sun rose in the east and they were different. And so in terms of this information, the literati, the scholars, the academic were above the soldiers. They were separated. So where you get sort of maybe Japan with the samurai was more of a feudal and warrior state. South Korea was known as, the Joseon Dynasty was known as the country of the scholar, of the sonbi. And so by entering in the east door, they had their position improved over the soldiers.
I would have liked that, being the nerd in high school who's too short to play sports.
Yeah.
I would have done better, assuming I had started off with money. I assume you had to be somewhat well off to become a scholar in that time.
As long as it was meritocratic, so as long as you passed the exam, you could get in there. So it wasn't hereditary, but it was kind of hard to pass the exam if you were working the fields all day. If you had a rich dad and you didn't have to work, that was much easier.
Sounds familiar with modern times, but all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotcha. But the point I want to make to you there is east and west were different. So they were both directions on a compass. But in this Confucian, in all the palaces, the east takes precedent over the west, and the east represents the scholars.
I keep going down to this paper. I need to write this down. I feel like I need a notebook.
Pop quiz later. Don't worry.
Oh, no.
So east is better than the west in this.
Okay.
Let me tell you about the next thing, which is the bridge that once you walk through that door, and you can walk through any of those gates that you want when you go to Gyeongbuk Palace, right? But if you want to get part of it, go through the door on the right. Now, once you go in, you'll encounter a little bridge. Now, this little bridge, I'm sorry about the branding on the photo, but it was the best one that I could find online in a big size. You'll notice that there's no water. So why is there a bridge? This is the first thing that you'll see when you walk in. Why is there a bridge, Alex? I can see your furrowed brow. Have a guess for me.
My guess is there would be a metaphorical divide between who is allowed to go to the other side and who is not. And that is a complete guess with no factual basis.
You're absolutely right.
You should
buy a lottery ticket today. Your luck is in,
sir.
The reason there is a bridge, there are two reasons for it. The first one is to divide the royalty and the commoners. So you're right. It's a physical divide that you know you are entering into the presence of royalty. You're entering into the presence of the king by crossing that. When you cross that bridge, you are meant to purify yourself. You're meant to purify your mind. You're meant to physically get rid of your weapons and anything that might cause harm. But more important than that, because I told you that this was a country or a society based on, you know, purity and the scholars, you're meant to purify your mind before you cross that bridge. And that's the first thing you see when you walk through the doors.
That is Great. Is there any... Now, those are the two main reasons. Is there a third one, or is the reason that you take away your weapons, like, does that help you protect the king and queen in case of an attack?
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you more about the security and why, you know, design and things like that all come into place as we go on. But here's one with three reasons. Now, when you walk, so you've gone through the three doors.
Yes.
You cross over the bridge, which purifies you, and you're getting into the king's... palace.
Yes.
And then you notice that the floor beneath you is uneven. And you look down and you think, you know, could they not have built a better floor than this? By the way, that's the king's house there at the background, right? And so this is the first thing that you come to. But if you notice the floor, it's uneven. Now, Alex, it's uneven for a reason. It's not because they didn't have the skill to make pure marble pristine floors that you could moonwalk or cut a rug all over. They had the skills, but they made the floor uneven for three very specific reasons.
Number one, it makes it more natural because it is like nature, and I don't know, you don't want to walk on pavement. You want to feel like you're part of the natural world.
I love the hippie in you. That's brilliant. They are practical reasons. The first one is it rains a lot in Korea, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So it's creating a sewer system for the water to run through. Ooh. So the first one is if it was smooth, the water would not drain away, right? So it's like the bathrooms you have today in Korea. It's exactly the same when you walk in them, right? So the bathrooms in modern Korea reflect the floor of the palace. It's a drain.
It's the royal throne. That's my bathroom.
The second one is that if it was smooth, the sun would reflect on it. And when those little pillars you can see on the floor, that's where people would sit in line to see the king. And if it was smooth, the sun would reflect and it would be hot and it would get in their eyes. The third reason why it's uneven is the most important. Check this out. Because the floor is uneven, you have to look down at the floor to make sure you're stepping in the right places.
Oh.
And because the king is there, it's keeping your head down. Because you know in Korea, you're not allowed to look in the eyes, even today, of people above you.
Right.
Right. If it's your 사장님, if it's somebody above you, you don't look in their eyes. You keep your head down and you bow.
My bad, so, professor.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But this was a way of making people keep their eyes on the ground. So the floor is uneven. You keep your head down. You concentrate where you're walking. And at the same time, you don't look at the king.
That last one is kind of brilliant and fascinating from a culture's perspective.
Yeah, yeah, it's great, isn't it? I mean, but it works, and it's producing subservience to the power.
True.
But they're doing it through physicality. They're making you keep your eyes down. And so this is really important. When you go on these tours, you go to these palaces, there are so many details that you might miss, or there are things that you would look at and go, this isn't as good as the palaces where I come from.
Yeah.
But you'd be missing so much of the depth of culture and history.
I think I did miss that. I had our professor from my American university. He was Korean, but we did not go into as much detail, I don't think. So that's fascinating.
Well, we've only done three things. We've done the purifying, the east and the west, and the uneven floor. And you're only into the first room of the palace at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. There's so much we have left unexplored.
Yeah, yeah. Let me show you just something very quickly.
Oh, yes.
Which will be about the five traditional colors that you'll use. So there are five colors. You'll see them. And they're still today, the colors that we use in the past. These are the colors for the elements, right? So the red stands for fire, the black is water, the green are trees and nature, white is metal, and yellow is the earth. These five colors represent the five basic elements that make up the universe. So when you see these colors on the king's place, it's like the universe is enclosed within here. There is nothing missing. All the elements that make up the traditional Korean universe are enclosed within that.
Wow. So the ones that I did not know, I didn't know white was metal.
Yeah.
White was metal. And what was the gold?
Black is water. Green is trees. White is metal. Yellow is earth.
Yellow is earth.
The yellow is earth. Why black is water? They must have had some dirty water back then. I'm not sure why black is water.
At night, if you look down at the water, it is pure darkness down there.
Before we take a break, I want to show you the next picture. This is the king's throne room. So this is the one where you'll come in. Now, when you look at this relates to security, what you asked me earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This room looks kind of empty, doesn't it?
It does.
Right, there's the king's throne. That red thing at the back, you see up the steps, mm-hmm. right? So this is the inside the room that we saw earlier. This is where the king will sit. He's elevated. The ceiling is very high. That's very important. They never had second floor, third floor, mm. but they had higher ceilings in these buildings. Now, if you go to somewhere like the Palace of Versailles, or if you go to Buckingham Palace and do tours, it's filled with stuff, man. It's absolutely filled with stuff. In these ones, they're empty because you couldn't hide assassins in there. If you had loads of furniture and you had loads of chest of drawers and cupboards and closets and sofas and wardrobes, an assassin, a ninja, could hide behind one of those and get the king. And so they purposefully left them empty. And today, sometimes, have you ever walked into a Korean living room or bedroom and it's kind of empty? Like,
in case there's assassins, or just out of tradition?
Just, you know, it passes down. Like, yeah. people would keep stuff. They're not normally filled houses, but and that reflects the royalty.
The simplicity of it, yes. and yet for a very specific reason.
No ninjas in the corner.
You can't have ninjas in the corner.
Yeah, right.
Now, all about Korea. Arirang Radio.
We've been talking about the palace and learning yes. about East and West and assassins. And how they can't do anything in these empty rooms. Bring us up to the next teaching point today.
This is the Ilwolo Bongdo. Now, this is the folding screen. You'll see just behind the king's throne there. You can see those five mountains. You see those two sun, the moons. Yeah. You see the trees. That folding screen behind the king's throne, that was taken with him wherever he went. So this followed him. When the king was sitting somewhere, that was carried behind wow. him. The sun in the drawing stands for the king, and the moon represents the queen. The trees are the loyal officials. The mountains refer to the land of Joseon, and the sea is the people of Joseon. So this is the whole of the nation represented in one picture, the land, the king, the queen, the officials, and the people. What you'll remember then is that there's lots of divided. There's the water and there's the mountains. There's the sun and the moon. And the king, all those divisions, the east and the west, the mm-hmm. yin and the yang, right? The king represents all of those combined.
That is something, again, I didn't know. The folding, it looks like what we use for changing rooms, temporary changing rooms, but this is just symbolically... Well, not only the symbolism you mentioned, but kind of like if it's always behind him, there's such a strong image that comes with the king.
But it's always behind him. But Alex, what if I told you it was always with you as well? Do you know what I mean by that?
As in the guard would always carry it near him?
No, okay. I mean less spiritual than that. I mean that design that you just saw with the sun and the moon and the five yeah. mountains and the trees, that is on Man won note. That is on the 10,000 won note.
Oh, you meant
that,
literally me.
So if you've got 10,000, you don't need to
check it right after the show.
That image is on the 10,000 won note. So wow. when you come to Korea and you get that green note, right, you can see it, and that's the king's folding screen that we showed you.
There it is, back up on the screen now.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But it represents, in one picture, that represents everything. You might have heard me tell this story before. Now, why are the people the water? Now, this is a really interesting thing. The water holds up the boat, right? The water holds up the king, but the water can also overturn the boat. The water has the power to capsize the boat. So the boat, it sits on top of the water, but the water has a control of the water has a power. And you see that throughout Korean history where they'll sort of impeach their presidents or rise up and overthrow right. them and things like that. And it resonates down through history.
Now, that's a symbolism I can get behind. I like that.
Yeah, there you go. Shall we talk about the queen?
Absolutely.
So we've seen the king. We've seen where the king lives and no hidden ninjas coming to get him.
None.
Let's talk about Gyotaejeon. Now, this is the queen. This is what you come to next. So mm-hmm. you enter through the gate, you go over the bridge and purify yourself across the uneven floor. You see the king's chambers, and then behind the king's chambers is the queen. So the queen is further into the palace, and mm-hmm. that's really important. You come to the king's quarters before the queen's.
The queen is behind the king because... Behind every strong man is a woman who supports him?
Beautiful. You're a perfect feminist. Not quite. No, it's not quite like that. But there are reasons for it. Now, the Gyotaejeon, the queen's chambers, they are bigger. right? They are big. It's actually bigger than the King's one. And you might think, well, that's pretty good. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this. The first one is that in Confucian culture, noble women, the queens, the royal family, they were not meant to be seen. They were hidden. So I know you might watch dramas where the ladies wear beautiful hanboks and things like this and they go around. It's not the case. They were often covered. You weren't meant to see noble women. So they were hidden inside the palace. You also got that in South Korea when you would have the ante and the sarangche. The sarangche represents the place where you entertain people. And the ante, the andang, is the inside room of the house for the women. Mm-hmm. So again, they're divided. Sun and moon, east and west, man and woman.
Wow. Okay, so that makes more sense. I remember just walking up to this particular one and being told this is the queen's quarters.
Yeah.
And now it sounds more reclusive than I remember.
It is reclusive, and that's the idea about it. You're not meant to see the women. Because here's the other idea. It's all about dichotomy. If you want to understand Korea the way it resonates, it's not about equality. Everybody's the same. It's about division. The word there is 별, which is division. You might hear it in modern words such as like 차별, like discrimination. But 별, man and woman, public and private, sun and moon, they're divided. They're not meant to be the same in this traditional way of thinking. There's two other reasons why the kyotejon, the women's quarters, the queen's quarters, are bigger. The second reason is that she was meant to have lots of kids.
Oh, yeah.
That was her duty. Her duty was to produce heirs. And so she had a bigger room and so that she could do that. The third one is that the hanbok that she wore was pretty hard to walk around in. And so she kind of stayed in there. Mm-hmm. And the king would go to the queen's chambers. Mm. Not the queen come to the king would go back to the queen's chambers. It was the queen's responsibility during this time to educate all the women of the land. And so she would sometimes bring women from outside the palace into hers. There's a great drama recently called Under the Queen's Umbrella with Kim Hae-soo. And that was about, you know, the queen, she has to train people. She has to educate people. That was her social responsibility.
All right, so we've got a kind of a better understanding now of what the queen's role is based on just the design of how Gyeongbokgung is built, the, not only the palaces, but the layout as well.
Yeah.
Where can we go to next? What else have we missed?
Well, there's so much that we've missed, but I want to try to maybe finish this conversation by talking about the concept of cultural appropriation.
Did you write an article on this recently, or did I just read like a post about this that you may have written?
I probably wrote an article about it. Okay. Write an article everywhere.
I'm curious about this as well now. What part of cultural appropriation are we talking about?
Maybe if our PDNM could find one of the early pictures either 1, 2, or 3 PDNM, that would be great. But some of my students were like, I can't wear a hanbok. That's cultural appropriation. Now, I'm not sure where I'm from in the United Kingdom. That's not really a conversation, but maybe in Ohio, maybe in parts of the United States, it's not good to dress up and do cosplay in other people's cultures.
Right.
Is that, I mean, what's your take?
I think this is one of the places where the conversation started off very well and it went a little too far. And this is just personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I think the way that your students and people come to Korea and wear a hanbok is not in a way that's disrespectful. However, when it's just a post on Instagram and then someone from America just had a conversation about wearing an American Indian headdress or a blackface, they'll look at that without any context and say, that must be cultural appropriation. I'm in the camp that it is absolutely not, and it can be encouraged in a respectful way, as it is being done here.
Well, let me just say that if you were to do this, if you were to come to Korea wearing these, you would get into the palace for free.
Very important.
Yeah, very important. The second thing is the people around it would encourage it. They would smile.
Absolutely.
They would take photos of you. They would say, oh, 너무 예뻐. They would say, oh, you're so pretty and you're so handsome and you look so good. This is not to say it's right. This is not to say it's wrong. This is just to say it's different. And in Korea, you are encouraged to get the vibe of the palace by engaging not only in the philosophy, not only in the history, not only in the gram-friendly photos, but also by dressing up and wearing it. And I think it really adds something. There are, of course, I said at the beginning, some conversations that not all of these hanboks are historically accurate, right?
Right.
But I don't think that really matters so much. It's more about embracing and taking part. And I think this is a huge thing. You talked about Hallyu and Psy and things like this. This is a word, Alex, that I call 한국화, Koreanization.
Oh.
We always talk about westernization, modernization, the rest of the world becoming modern or Western or global.
Mm-hmm.
How about the rest of the world becoming Korean? This is people coming to Korea, embracing a little bit of that culture, whatever it might be, and then taking it away with them. There's a little bit of Korean in them. This is 한국화. This is Koreanization.
And see, I think that's the respectful way to do that. If you're doing it for the gram, for the like, it may go into iffy territory. But if you're doing it to learn more, to become part of the culture, or to take away part of it with you, that sounds good to me.
I think you can do it for the gram and for the like as well.
You can also throw it out there on top of it.
That's what young people do.
It's a bonus. And that gram also shares that culture with the world.
There's so much we didn't cover about the palaces, but I just wanted to do a little bit with the listeners today to show you that when you do go to these places, there's perhaps a lot that you might be missing. And it's mm-hmm. important when you look at the floor to understand the floor's there for a reason. When you see the empty rooms, they're there for a reason. If you see it through your own eyes and own culture, you might be missing things. If you see it through Korean eyes, it all suddenly starts making a little bit more sense.
It absolutely does. Thank you so much, Professor, for everything today. It's fascinating. I can't wait till next week.
Some philosophy next week for you then. We've done history, then we'll do philosophy.
Oh, that's fascinating. All right, everyone, say goodbye to Professor Tizard.
Thank you very much.
You can listen to Monday's segment Now and Then with David Tizard every Monday from 10 a.m. KST on #DailyK.